Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. It'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, especially if you subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes on Sunday by email, and especially if you spend a little time on our blog, which is right there on the homepage, and especially if you allow us to send it to you. I think it will help you a lot, and lots of other things there. I hope you'll spend some time on our site. Lara Ewing is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's a new friend, soon to be old friend. She's the co-author of the new book I told you about a minute ago, The Art of Connecting. And Lara consults with leaders of companies of lots of different sizes where she works with them to help them put their best foot forward with the human beings around them. She's our new friend, as I said. Lara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you here.
Well, it's good to be here.
Lara, the human thing is the, you know, most of us have got the product thing figured out. We've got the marketing thing figured out. We've got the delivery thing figured out. We've got the financial thing figured out. The human part of the marketplace, not so much. What do we do about that?
Boy, Jim, if we could just get that people thing in order, wouldn't our lives be easier?
One of my favorite things to say is the problem with humanity is the humans.
Well, exactly. And, you know, so often it starts with that very first moment when we meet each other, and so many decisions that people make about each other right in that first impression, that first moment of connecting.
So that first impression is what our mothers always said. She was right about being the big deal, right?
That's right. Comb your hair.
Well, How do we make sure that first impression works?
Well, a large part of that is in the way that we perceive the other person. So really opening our eyes and ears to pick up as much as we can about that other person and the cues they offer us, and then doing what we can to use those cues to let us know about that other person's preferences.
But now, time out, Lara. That's an awful lot about those other people. I mean, isn't it supposed to be about me? You're requiring me to do a lot of thinking about this other person, and all I want to talk about is me.
Well, Jim, the thinking about that other person is your entry ticket to being able to talk about you.
That's the key, isn't it?
It sure is.
But many of us miss that. We humans, because we are humans, and we got this ego thing going on, many of us miss that completely, don't we? It's a total flyby, isn't it?
Well, it's, you know, to me, it's just the price of entry. You know, it's true. We do miss it, and we often miss it because we have a great message to deliver.
Mm-hmm. We're so excited about what we have to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, our product of the month, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and the business that we are, you know, that's our baby that we're mm-hmm. trying so hard to build here.
You know, one of the funny things, I've seen that this has happened to me several times before, is I'd meet someone and within, you know, 2 minutes, they would say something like this to me. They would say, have I told you about my background? I promise you. I've had that to happen several times. And I would say, no, why don't you do that now?
I think I sit next to that big guy on an airplane about twice a week.
Oh, yeah, every time. Oh, yes, he's got. And if it's not him, it's his brother or his sister, right?
Absolutely.
So what do we, when we have a situation like that, do we, you know, these are people that some of them are our customers. These are prospects. These are people who might be prospective employees or somehow we may have to deal with these people. How do we make the most out of those kinds of relationships?
Well, you know, I think that moment is a moment to savor. You know, that in essence, what that person has just told you is that it's story time. And so for me, I take a deep breath and I figure I'm going to learn something of great interest and value in dealing with that person from this point forward. And, you know, invariably, Jim, they tell me something that it's really good for me to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like at that moment, that is an invitation to engage your curiosity, sit back, take a deep breath, and know that you're going to get something of immeasurable value in what they're going to tell you.
Well, the thing about it is that when you're talking, you know, it's you're not learning anything about the other person. But when you're listening, you are. And so what you have to realize is you know what? This person decided they wanted to go first.
Exactly.
And that's what you're talking about. Just use it to your advantage.
Exactly. And, you know, when somebody says something like that, there is, in what they are about to say to you, there's something they're trying to convey to you, something mm-hmm. that about them that's important to them for you to know. And, you know, in the remainder of your relationship, what they tell you in that conversation is likely to guide you in how to have a good relationship with that person.
You, in your book, you actually profile people that you call master connectors. What does a master connector look like?
A master connector is someone who, from those first instances of meeting them, can make you feel that you are the only person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That their attention is so fully focused on you that you are their world for that moment. And each of us, when we meet somebody who's a connector like that, feels honored by the quality of their attention.
Well, I have met people like that, and it's almost embarrassing how much they shine the light on you, isn't it? A little bit. I mean, if unless your ego is completely run amok, it's almost palpable the way that they want to continue to shine the light, keep the light shining on you.
Well, it can be. It can be.
But the thing is, you never forget that person. And you always feel like there was a connection with that person because they made you feel good.
They make you feel good and they make you feel memorable. They shine the light on the parts of you that you want to present to the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Terry Gross was one of the people that we profiled. And she is, you are, a radio interviewer.
Right. She is NPR, of course. She's a legend on NPR.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Fresh Air is her program.
Uh-huh,
and
right.
She
could you hold that thought, Laura? Laura Ewing, ladies and gentlemen, the co-author of The Art of Connecting. When we come back, I'm going to let her finish her thought on Terry Gross. And then I'm going to ask her about something that they call the titanium rule. Not the golden rule, the titanium rule. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, Laura Ewing. That's L-A-R-A Ewing, E-W-I-N-G. If you're Googling her or looking her up on any of the online bookstores, she's the co-author, along with Claire Rains, of The Art of Connecting, which is a brand new book out now for the last month or so, available wherever books are sold. And Laura, would you like to give us anywhere else to go to look for your book?
The main source will be Amazon.
Yep. All right. And what about your own website? And tell us a little bit about what you do when you're not gracing us with your presence on this show.
Well, Claire and I have a website for the book called www.artofconnecting.net. So you can find more information and, you know, an additional set of tips or two on that website.
All right.
And my primary work, Jim, is working with mid-sized companies for the people side of it. So I work with the senior team in the organization as individuals and then bring them together as a team to help that business just cook and move together in alignment and unity and synergy.
How much dysfunction do you find out there in the leadership of companies?
Well, let's just say I don't fear for my job security.
So you're not worried about whether you're going to have work or not, right?
Not as long as people are people, as you
not
said
as long
earlier.
As we have those human beings. That's right.
You know,
what
until they're rational, we'll have some work to do out there.
What is the classic thing that you see that whenever you go into an operation, even though maybe the business is doing well, things are clicking along okay, what is the one thing that you know almost without a doubt that you're going to find? Silos, fiefdoms, what do you find?
Well, yes to those two things. I mean, the nature of being a human being is that we see the world through our own eyes. We
right.
have our own perspective on things. And especially as a business grows, Jim, one of the things that you see is that as the complexity rises and as that business is successful and that complexity grows, if I'm in that senior team, my slice gets more and more complicated to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I lose in the natural growth of that business is a sense of what's going on in those other areas.
I get diluted.
Yes, and properly focused at one level, but also the challenge then becomes for each member of that senior team to also have their enterprise hat
right.
and see the business as a whole as well as my slice of it.
How do you blend in what you guys call the titanium rule when you work with these folks?
Well, the titanium rule is a principle that tells us to do unto others according to their druthers. In other words, to
say that,
honor
say,
their
say that again. Say that again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be on the test. Go ahead.
Do unto others according to their druthers. So it's all about honoring other people's preferences. So, for example, if I work with a peer, you know, we're at the same level of the organization, and, you know, I've worked with Bob for many years, but, you know, over those years, one of the things I've learned is Bob doesn't care to hear the detail that went into the conclusion that I've come to. Bob wants the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm inherently kind of a detail-oriented person, I may come to him with my suggestion, and I may have, you know, the report that details by line and verse what I
right.
think, and I.
Right.
But he
and you're
doesn't
so
really
and you're
that.
So proud of it too.
I am proud of it. I put a lot of work into
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. And you want him to see the quality of your work, and all he wants to know is the quality of the answer.
Exactly. Bob's not interested in the process I use to get there. He wants to know what I recommend.
The titanium rule, folks, do unto others according to their druthers. I love that. That's great. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And Jim, the reverse is true. You know, Bob may come to me with a bottom line because that's what he would prefer. But boy, before I'm going to be bought into that, I'm going to need to know how he got there.
Right. And he's going to say to you, but that's like homework, Laura.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's a matter of shifting just a little bit from my ordinary communication style to make sure that I'm able to connect with how that person receives and processes information most naturally for them.
Mm-hmm. So you become a little bit of a traffic cop, don't you? Helping people know when to go fast, when to go slow.
Exactly. And you know, when to go high in terms of level of information, when to go low,
right.
When to offer it with lots of humor, because one person strongly prefers that, you know, and when to just, you know, matter-of-factly mm-hmm. deliver the bottom line.
Do you ever uncover silos where, or fiefdoms, as I call them sometimes, where people have just decided to build a little wall around their department? How do you deal with that? We've got about a minute.
You know, mainly when people do that kind of thing, the positive intention behind what they're doing is to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid in some way. So the main effective way of dealing with that is to reassure them, to help them understand where you're coming from, why you want insight into that department.
And that their insecurity may not be founded.
Exactly.
But they need more than just, you got to do more than just tell them that it's not founded, because that's probably not going to convince them. Laura, we got a lot more. You got a lot more to teach us. Will you come back another day?
I will do it.
I've enjoyed having you here on the show.
Hey, Jim, thank you for the opportunity.
Laura Ewing, ladies and gentlemen, and that's artofconnecting.net.
That's correct.
All right. That's the book, folks. That's the website. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break. Right back with Senator Michael Enzi of Wyoming.
Oh,
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.